welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Praise God. Tell you what, there is just nothing in the world like just bringing glory to the name of Jesus. Lifting up the name of Jesus, the one who loved us, who gave himself for us. And I'll tell you what, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he said, he'll glorify me. He'll take of what is mine and he'll show it to you. And that's a good way to know that you're hearing from the Spirit of God, when you hear from the Spirit of God in a way that brings glory to Jesus. And I'll tell you, you can never go wrong bringing glory to Jesus. If you're ever wondering what to do next, just begin to worship and lift up the name of Jesus. And you're always right there, right? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my heart. So that's always the good, right next step to do. And like Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, just getting that gaze right onto Jesus. Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and start out with the passage of Scripture in Colossians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossian church and in the area of Colossae, and he's giving them some very specific instructions, you know, kind of almost to dovetail off of what we've been worshiping about this morning. We've been really worshiping with a resurrection theme. It's been wonderful. And the thought of the passage here kind of dovetails right off that. It says, you know, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim and seek at the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, and not on things that are on the earth. In other words, he's saying, look, you're right. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. You've been raised together with him. You've been made brand new. And if that's the case, if that's the deal, then how much more ought we not be thinking about those things that are above and not on things on the earth? So in other words, he's saying you got to decide where you're going to be setting your mind. These things really are true. And because they're true, we can go there in our minds and think about those things. Even when you're worshiping, it's an awesome thought to imagine Jesus. I mean, there have been people caught up to the third heaven and seen things. We know that's a scriptural experience that can and does happen from time to time, but most of us haven't. And so when we're thinking about heaven and we're thinking about Jesus, most of us don't have any kind of vivid, clear picture unless God showed you something supernaturally by his Spirit, but you're by faith going there. You're seeing Jesus lifted up. You're seeing him worshiped, you know, with the saints and angels. You're seeing, you know, and it's not that you've got the perfect vivid picture, but in your mind, you're going there. You're setting your mind there. You're seeing that by faith. You're seeing him worshiped. And by faith, you're joining with, like the Apostle Paul said, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You're worshiping with the family in earth, the same Lord that we bow our knee before, the same Lord Jesus Christ. And we're saying, wow, praise you, Jesus. I can see my loved ones worshiping my Lord right along with me as I'm worshiping my Lord. I'm going there. I'm setting my mind on things above. I'm seeing his majesty, his splendor. And he says, keep your mind on things above and keep them set on things that above, not on the things that are on the earth, all right? And we'll kind of look at another scripture a little bit more as it dovetails a little bit with things on the earth. This is Ephesians. The Apostle Paul says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what we were talking about before. We were raised up together with him. It says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Okay, so here we see a little bit more about what we're not to be thinking on things that are on the earth. More specifically, we've got natural things on the earth we've got to take care of. We've got to be responsible and all that kind of stuff. But really where he's going with that is really this, walking according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In other words, there's air and there are airwaves. There are heavenly airwaves that you can set your mind on and get stuff from heaven, and there are earthly demonic airwaves that you can set your mind on and get stuff that's going on down here. And so that verse, you know, in Colossians, he's really kind of talking about setting your mind almost like it were a tuner. Are you going to tune in to God, or are you going to tune in to the enemy down here, to the prince of the power of the air? And so you got that choice, you got that decision that you've got to make. And it's a big deal. When you begin to realize scriptural things and spiritual things, you begin to realize the importance of the mind. And not just the mind, like even, you know, we live in a world that understands the importance of the mind in terms of, you know, try to think right, believe good, and all that kind of stuff. But it's different when you really get into the spiritual realm and you realize that there's a connection to the realm of the spirit as it relates to where you set your mind. We'll delve into it a little bit more later, but as we begin to look at this, Paul's just saying, look, set your mind on things above. You know, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we're getting that direction. Now, here's another scripture kind of along these lines. It says, do not be deceived. God isn't mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he said something very profound before he would say something very profound. He would say, let him who has ears to hear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, okay. He wasn't talking with people that did have the ears on their head, physical ears. He was talking about people who have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's about to say something from heaven. We know that he only said what he heard the Father say. I only say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. So whatever Jesus was about to say next was coming from heaven, was coming from the Father. So when he said, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's talking about people who were tuned in, who could hear that airwave, that frequency of what he was about to say. Even in the our natural world, we've got airwaves in this room, probably cell phone waves, television waves, radio waves, things you can't see with your eyes, and yet they're there, and they are actively communicating information all around us, going through the air. And we know the principle of the power of the air has a lot of control over the airwaves in the natural sense as far as what bounces through and what comes through here. And so there's a lot of tension in the air because of the prince of the power of the air. But when Jesus was on the earth, he would say, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. It's not talking about people who can hear audible natural sounds. He was talking about people who were tuned in, who could hear something. And so I remember one time and crying out to God, and I'm sure we've all probably done this at one time, but just, you know, you're thinking bad thoughts and you're frustrated and you want to stop thinking bad thoughts. And I'm crying out to God and saying, God, help me to stop thinking bad thoughts. I don't want to think these bad thoughts. You're fighting them. And I remember I prayed that. It was like one night, and I woke up the next morning and the Holy Spirit gave me the answer to my question, my prayer. And he referenced this verse right here. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And this is the way he put it to me. He said, Ed, when you sow to the flesh, you tune into your flesh. And you have ears to hear what your flesh is saying. But when you sow to the Spirit, you tune into the Spirit, and you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. If you don't like what you're hearing, change where you're sowing. It was like, oh. It's amazing when I got that, I began to realize immediately all the different kind of thoughts I've been giving a pass to and eating on top of and you know, just living on top of. And all the time, they were just tuning me in to the things that I was trying, the thoughts that I was trying to stop. And I realized that a lot of the mind things and hearing things and trying to get things out has to do with tuning. Because when you tune into one channel, you naturally tune out the other channel. It's not even that you're trying to tune it out, you're just tuning in. When you tune into heaven, the scripture says, walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this morning we're going to just talk about tuning into God. Tuning into God. I'll say this too. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. I don't care how well you know God. Whether you're just getting started, you've been doing this for 50 years. The tuning thing isn't like, I've done that, I got that out of the way, and now I'm going on. Tuning is a continual process that you always have to stay on top of. When we're talking about tuning into God, this is stuff that we need to hear and that we need to be reminded of. Because what I'm not talking about theology today. You know, you can have great theology, rightly divide the word of truth, but where you're tuned into has a lot to do with whether you're going to have victory today or not. Okay? And so we're talking about tuning into, specifically tuning into God. So the first thing we want to look at is simply what I'm calling getting tuned in. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10:3 says it this way. This is a powerful passage of scripture that really kind of tells the things that we're dealing with in terms of our spiritual battles down here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All right, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not natural. Again, we're not talking physical ears, we're talking mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, arguments, high things, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God gives us, in other words, spiritual weapons that give us the upper hand and the control of what we're thinking about amplified. And as much as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, it's kind of, when you look at this, it almost sounds like some pretty extreme language. Because you think of bringing, you know, I understand, yeah, we want to destroy those strongholds and the arguments, but bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What are we talking about? We're talking about getting tuned in. We're talking about getting tuned in. You know, you can be kind of partially tuned in. You can be tuned in where it's obnoxious. It might even be a song you like, and you just really want to hear it clear, but there's a little bit of static, or there's a little, you know, it's just not really fully tuned in. And this is where the scripture talks about every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want to be tuned in. I want to be fully there, yielded, hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. Now, there's a choice that you've got to make, because you've got thoughts in your head. And thoughts in your head are a whole lot like channels on your television set. And you got to decide which channel you're going to listen to. We have our RTV, this isn't a commercial or anything, but we have DirecTV, okay? And we've got kind of a mid-range package, but even the mid-range package has several hundred channels. And if I wanna dial in to something that's of the spiritual nature in our package anyway, it's like the 370 range, all right? Now, if I'm really serious about wanting to tune in to channel 374, two, and I decide to start at channel two and just go one by one by one till I get there, there's a good chance I'll never get to channel 372. There's a good chance I'll be distracted by channel whatever between two and 372. There's a good chance I won't mean to. I'm going to 372, right? But, oh, well, that's interesting. You might just watch it for a few minutes, then you got to see how it turns out, or, you know. And in the channels in our mind, we got a lot of different channels. We've got channels from our past. We've got reruns of things. We've got fears of the future of what might happen. We've got what so-and-so said about us. We've got all these different channels. I know I want to get to Jesus. I want to set my mind on things above, but I'm going to kind of plod through some channels here before I get there. Well, I'm very thankful in DirecTV we've got something called Direct Access, where I can just go 372 and just go right there. I don't have to get through all those other channels to be able to get to 372. I can directly access it. And I've had to, you know, and that's faith, you know, and it's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God too, because those other channels between 2 and 372, they can be very entertaining to your flesh. All right? And when I'm talking flesh, I'm not just talking about adultery, fornication, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, you know, bitterness, outbursts of wrath, contentions, evil speak. That's all flesh. And all that stuff can play on in different things. Because you understand, there's a part of you that's mortal. And it's mortal for a reason, because it was corrupted by sin. And so there is a tuner that a mortal body has that will tune into that stuff. No matter how spiritual you get on the inside. Now, by the Spirit, you can put to death the deeds of the body. And that's part of why we're tuning into the Spirit to do it. But if you've got a body that's left unchecked and just does what it wants to do, man, you begin to let certain thoughts go, it'll begin to plug in. It'll begin to pull. And like we said, you kind of get that. You tune you into the flesh, you have ears to hear what the flesh is saying. Now, as you kind of go through, you say, hey, I'm gonna go right on through. And this is kind of what I like to call this guy, the Psalm 1 guy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of the sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. It's like you can just see him buzzing past all those channels. Those are the channels, right? Aren't they? I mean, it's really the counsel of the ungodly. The show's kind of directing and telling you what to do. You've got the channel of the path of sinners. You just kind of fill in the blank there. All the stuff that appealed to the lust of the flesh. And then the seat of the scornful. That's the critic. But the Psalm 1 guy just goes past all those channels, and he just delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does will prosper. He's not trying to be like a tree planted. He just is. All he's trying to do is just direct dial in to the Word. But I don't feel like it. I know. You know, there's things that don't taste so good that are good for you, and you'll like it later. You'll like the results of things later. And a lot of times when you're getting tuned in, that's the way it is. Especially if you're really tuned into your flesh, to tune in from the flesh to the Spirit, it's a cold shower to your flesh. It is. Let me put it this way. It starts out as a cold shower to your flesh. But as you stay tuned into the Spirit, you get so on fire for spiritual things that the things that used to get you, you're actually disturbed by. It has the exact opposite effect. Because when you're tuning into the Spirit, it just completely orientates you. You're drawing on that inward man. Like we said, you sow to the flesh. Yeah, your flesh has a voice. It'll pull you down. But I'll tell you what, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old's passed away. All has become new. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And when you're setting your mind on things above, it's not just tuning into that, but you are activating the power and the law, the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. This is the cool thing about living for God that the world can't understand. They just kind of say it's religion. But there's something bigger than a religion going on here. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're talking about here is we're talking about getting tuned in. Now, for the guy to do that, for that Psalm 1 guy to do it, he had to go past the enticement, of course, the counsel of the ungodly, the path of the sinner, the seed of the scornful, and it has all of its different lures and things like that. The other thing to look at here, too, and this is kind of where we're getting, Romans 8, 5 through 7, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. We're talking about your tuner here, okay? So when we're thinking about this, be thinking, man, when I'm living according to the flesh, I'm setting my mind on the things of the flesh. See, because that's the deal. You know, if you're going to flesh out in something, you can't flesh out without first thinking about what you're going to flesh out about, right? You're going to go through your mind. You're going to have to bring your mind and set it on the thing that you want to do that's according to the flesh. That's the way it works. So it's not just, oh, I did the wrong thing. Well, yeah, there's mercy for the wrong things you do, but there's another bigger thing that you got to realize at stake here. You set your mind on that thing. And right now it's kind of working against you. All right? Carnal-mindedness works against you. That's a strong statement. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. There's no way you can game this to where you can stay carnally minded and kind of do the deal while living for God at the same time. It can't be done. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. I'm going to come back over here. I'm going to think on things that are above. I'm going to think on the things of the Spirit. And that's what's going to begin to work the power of the Spirit of God. Now, again, we're just talking about first things first, just getting tuned in. You're going to have to get past that stuff. Here's some other stuff. If you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. That wisdom doesn't come from above, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So here we're seeing that two kinds of wisdom. There's that wisdom that doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic, the self-seeking. In other words, as I'm going through some channels in the mind, I'm realizing that, okay, I got to buzz past some channels. I'm talking about thoughts, right? If I've got thoughts just free-flowing through my mind, I got to be aware. I hear somebody put it this way. You know, think about what you're thinking about. Be aware of those channels that are going on in your mind. You can get used to giving certain thought patterns a pass, and they can be the very thought patterns that are eating your lunch. That's why we take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I can't do this as a mental exercise. It takes the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. It takes the Holy Spirit to be able to make you aware of thoughts that are not right. It takes the Word of God to help you be aware of thoughts that aren't right. This is why it's important to be feeding on the Word of God, because that Word of God helps create that filter, that baseline. This is the way we think. Here's a guidance from the Word right here. If I've got bitter envy, self-seeking, it's not a revelation from God. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. All right? Let's say I wanted to get the wisdom from above. What does it sound like? It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. What am I doing? I'm tuning in. I'm tuning out, and I'm tuning in. I need to know what some things sound like. You know, Jesus said something. He said, my sheep would know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they wouldn't follow. He didn't even say my sheep would know my theology. He said they'd know my voice. There's a voice behind wisdom that you can hear and tune in and tune out. So here we're just saying I want to get tuned in. If I'm going to get tuned in, man, I'm going to have to tune out some stuff, all right? There are faith revelations that come from the Word of God. There are demonic revelations. And you can kind of see which is which as far as the wisdom and the way it looks. So just talking about getting tuned in then, we're talking about tuning in to God. The big thing, too, then, is staying tuned in. It's kind of one thing to know that, okay, yeah, I just can't let my mind go free. I've got to tune in to the right thing. But the other big aspect as far as tuning in to God is staying tuned in. And a lot of times, this is where a lot of us are right now. It's that staying tuned in to God. Romans 7:22-23, the Apostle Paul says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Peter says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And so, what's going on here? You've got that law of the sin and death. Again, we've got a mortal body. And if you think of that warring against the law of your mind, you could say, instead of law of your mind, you could put it this way, warring against your tuner, all right? You've got stuff in your body that's warring against your tuner. The apostle, Peter, as sojourners, pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Isn't that interesting language he uses here? As sojourners and pilgrims. In other words, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't think like the world. What the world says is okay, which is fine, is cool, it's good, we don't. We don't conform to the pattern of the world. We're sojourners. We're pilgrims. We're different. We're supposed to shine. We're supposed to stand out. It's not a holier-than-thou religious air and arrogance. This is about me just being true and faithful to what I know is right, what I know God has shown me to do. So there's going to be a... So there's going to be that kind of a warring that's going on in your mind. So we kind of call that a fleshly war, okay? And as far as kind of getting tuned in, you want to stay tuned in. Galatians 5:15 puts it this way. So what's the answer to this? Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. Now, we kind of referenced this before, just about how, you know, if you're going to tune one out, you're going to tune one in, you're tuning the other out. You could say, tune in the Spirit, and you will tune out the flesh. It'd be kind of another way of putting it. I think that as we look at the mechanics of this and kind of understand the theology of it, we've got to delve deeper into the passage a little bit and understand the Holy Spirit, God-given empathy that's in this passage right here. I can stand up here, I can preach it, I can declare it, but God gets it. God gets it when you're tuning from that flesh channel to the Spirit channel, what you are giving up as far as satisfying your flesh and what you are sowing to the Spirit. That word right there, it says the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other so that you do not do the things that you wish. You know, you see that word flesh, lust, and it's almost implied on the Spirit side, but it says flesh lusts. And of course, you think in our natural connotation for lust is a sexual lust. But that word lust, actually, in the Greek, doesn't mean exclusively sexual lust. All the word in the Greek right there literally means is strong desire. Jesus actually used that same Greek word at the evening of the Passover, where he said, oh, I've greatly desired to eat this Passover meal with you. I've greatly desired this. That's the word lust, right? And that's a good connotation. It just means strong desire. It just depends on the context. If a man lusts after a woman, he's committed adultery in his heart, that's strong desire after somebody. That's not his fault. That would be crossing that line. Here, the scripture's talking about the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. So let me just put it this way. The flesh has a strong desire against the Spirit. Your flesh has a strong desire against the things of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God in you has a strong desire against the things of the flesh. This is going on in you. I've got another message called the two yous, you know, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. Sounds a little schizophrenic. And if you read Romans 7, it does sound a little schizophrenic. So, man, things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. But you see what's going on here is you've got these battles that are going on, and it's a strong desire. In other words, the Scripture wants you to know, God wants you to know that He knows that it's a strong desire. I mean, when you're more tuned into the flesh, the thought of spiritual things, your flesh will mock it. Your flesh will mock spiritual things. Your flesh will undermine the importance and the value of spiritual things. And this is where, when I was kind of a newer believer, I'd be intimidated by that. I'd think, wow, maybe I'm not even a Christian then. I mean, if I was really a Christian, how could I just have such a no interest for spiritual things? And yet I could look at another place in my life where I was strong in the Lord and the power of His might. What's going on here? Am I really even a Christian? Am I even really saved? Yeah, you're really saved. Yeah, you're really a Christian. You're just tuned into the flesh right now. But you know, even when I'm tuned into the flesh and I don't even want spiritual things and I'm playing hard to get with God, I'm glad at least I know I'm playing hard to get with God and at least I know I'm in the flesh. Because there's always a way back to the Spirit. You can always get back in the Spirit. It's just about being honest with where you are right now. And as far as staying tuned in, that's where you're going to be going, okay, hey, you know, I can get back to where I was. How can I get back there? Because you got there before. If you got there before, you can get back there again. You can get back into the things of the Spirit. You can get back into the things of the Spirit of God. What is the Scripture saying? Your flesh has a strong desire against the things of the Spirit. So what I'm saying is this, don't be intimidated. Don't be freaked out by you. All right? Not desiring spiritual things. It just means you need to get back in the Spirit. It just means you need to get tuned back in anyway. Because you know what? It's not you. It's God in you. It's the new creation. What do you got? You got to get tuned in, tuned back into God. When you get tuned back into God, you get tuned back into the new creation you are. You get tuned back into the Holy Spirit who's on the inside of you. Strong desire. These aren't just like, oh, I shouldn't do that. No, it's passionate. And you got to say, man, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I know I'm going to have a cry on my hands right now as I go back to spiritual things, but that's okay. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I've been there before. It's awesome. It's the best place in the world. And man, when you're there, when you're walking with God, you're grooving with God, you're hearing from God, and you know it's God, it's like, man, I'm never going to leave this place again. But the reality is we live in a world where there's tribulation, where we've got the flesh, we've got the world, we've got a devil who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, but then may the God of all grace who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It would be great, you know, if you didn't have, you know, you could just tune into God and you didn't have your flesh fighting you. You didn't have the roars of the devil fighting you in a world who doesn't get you fighting you to get you off your game, to get you tuned out of the things of the Spirit. You got that battle. God knows you got it. He understands it. And he's there and he's saying, don't give up. Stay tuned back in and get tuned in. You know, I've kind of heard it said where, you know, when a pilot is flying, like say if they're flying from Chicago to L.A., they don't just put it on, you know, they don't just, you know, can let it go, you know, just chart a course and let it go. There's going to be crosswinds, there's going to be turbulence, there's all kind of things that plane is continually adjusting to keep it on track. And as I am walking and I'm living this life for God, I know I'm going to have headwinds, I'm going to have flesh world and devils trying to knock me off my game spiritually, and to understand that. But I'm going to get tuned back in, I'm going to stay tuned in. So I just want to kind of just clarify that it's such an important thing to understand. The Scripture understands, and the Scripture is even empathetic toward you in understanding what you know. There are things you're going to have to tune out to tune in, and that it's a strong desire. But you begin to tune in the things of the Spirit. Praise God. Here's a great practical example of this. And this is Philippians 4:6-8. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything by prayer and petition, definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Just talking about staying tuned in, that first verse, don't fret or have anxiety about anything, that's typically the thing that'll try to tune us out, knock our tuner off the God channel. And this is where God is saying, no, he said, just lift it up, make it a prayer request. Whatever that thing that's trying to knock your tuner off, turn it into a prayer request, all right? He said, with prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, and continue to make your wants known to him. But the great thing about this is, he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A lot of times the reason we get out of tune is because there's something we're confronted with and we don't know the answer to it. Something's going on. I've been just hit with something and I don't know the answer to it. And I feel like until I get the answer to this, I'm going to stay out of tune. And what God is saying is this. He's saying, look, you just tune into me. You're going to be bombarded with a bunch of stuff you don't know. You're going to be bombarded with cares and things you don't know the answer to. He said, here's the deal. You just lift them up to me. You cast those cares on me. And he didn't say, and he'll give you the answer to your question. No, he said, I'm going to give you the peace that passes your understanding, that's going to keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Think of it this way. A peace that's going to keep you tuned in to me. It'll keep you tuned. That's the functional purpose of his peace, is just to keep you tuned until you get the understanding that you need. The peace is the engine. The understanding is the caboose. And I'm just letting the engine of peace lead me. And what is it doing? It's keeping me tuned in. That's my goal. You know, and that's and eventually you'll get the understanding that you need. You know, in the olden days, in the 70s, wow. Oh, Lord. I know I was only 35 when we started this church, but wow. In the olden days, I think of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Z100, Scott Victor Christensen, the old rock and roll station, Z100, and he'd be there, and you'd have to dial in and play your call in, make your song, and you know, just play, you know, to play my song, my favorite song. You'd call in, and boy, when you'd call in, you're listening to that station. You're listening and listening and listening to when they're going to play your song. You know, that was the cool thing. I called in, and I made my request, and I'm waiting to hear my song. And I'm going to stay tuned into that channel until I hear my song. Well, that's like a lot of what this verse is saying. You're making your request, the peace will keep you tuned in, and eventually God's going to play your song. Eventually the understanding of your song is going to come. But you got to stay tuned in, don't you? It's frustrating if you call in, you tell the disc jockey, and then you turn away, you know, turn it, and then somebody says, I heard that song. I am the one that called in. No, you want to be listening. You want to be listening to it. All right? God is going to play your song. Your song is the answer to your question, but stay tuned in. Stay plugged in. We're talking about staying tuned in, right? Okay, I'm getting tuned in. Don't, in the same way, I don't want to let the ugly, unbelievable, stupid things my flesh suggests to my mind intimidate me from the reality that I am a new creation in Christ. What did Paul say? Henceforth we know no one after the flesh. Howbeit, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passing. Satan wants you to go back to knowing yourself after the flesh. If you won't bite on that, if you'll see through that, and by faith tune into the spiritual things above reality, that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, praise God, you'll begin to tune in to a spiritual mindedness where there's life and peace. If you won't be intimidated also by what you don't know, not intimidated by anxiety and care. Is there a remedy for that? Yeah. I can let my request be made known unto God. I'm calling the heavenly DJ. I'm making my request. Yeah, whatever. Boy, I brought another old song. Never mind. Won't go there. A pilot of the airways? I don't know. It was you're, I'm putting my request in, and Lord, I'm just trusting. I don't know the answer to this. Help me. Show me, lead me, guide me. I'm casting the care of it over on you. And I'm just going to let that peace. I'm just letting my tuner in place. Praise God, my tuner isn't dependent upon me having to know everything. I can just wait for years. Have you ever had that? You've asked something, and it's like years later, it drops in your spirit. In the meantime, peace is keeping me tuned in. No pressure on me to have to know everything to be able to stay tuned in. Don't have to. I can just, yep, praise God. Cast that care over in the Lord. Lord, you're going to show me what I need to know when I need to know it. Praise God. And let me kind of say this too. Sometimes when you're going through stuff, you know, we've got, now we've got a vehicle that has satellite radio, but we didn't always have that. We'd always had just the regular radio where you'd tune in. We'd go on a big trip, and we're kind of going from city to city. We have to retune in and try to find the Christian station over and over again. We kind of tune in. Is that Christian? No, that's not Christian. Keep going, oh, the Christian. Oh, definitely not. Okay, there's Christian. All right. So we're listening to some of those familiar tunes. You know, you're having to go from, and so you're retuning over and over and over and over again because you're just changing geographical locations. You know that God's there. There's a tuner there. But sometimes you're going to hit things. You'll hit some things in your life that'll just shake up your soul. Maybe you were tuned in, but something just blindsides you, and your soul is like, whoa, it just knocked you into last week or next week or whatever, and it messes with your soul. I mean, an event, a specific something that happens that shakes you emotionally and mentally, and you just got to tune in again. That's all. It doesn't matter what city you're in. There is no area of the soul that God can't be reached. There is no thing that's beyond his signal. So, again, sometimes we're tuned off by things of our own doing, the flesh, the world, and the devil, and we succumb. But sometimes there's just things that'll hit you. And you got to go, okay, wow, I've never seen this city before, but I know one thing about it, I can still tune into God here. No matter where I'm at, I can tune in. He's there. Praise God. There's no, where can I go from your presence? Where can I go? There's nowhere you can go. It's like a guy, heard the story, guy's running away from God, just turned his back on God, didn't want anything to do, loved God, but he just decided to go the other way. And he said, he was kind of retelling this as a testimony, and he said he went into one of these really seedy clubs, and all of a sudden he heard the Spirit of the Lord saying, what are you doing here? And he said the first instinctive response was, what are you doing here? Where can I go? He loves you. You're not going to intimidate. You can play your parents. You can play people, but you can't play him. You're stuck with him. He loves you. He's for you. Reckless love, is that the song that's kind of outlined? He'll just bust down doors. He's you're not going to play hard to get with his love. He's there. And he's like, you're going to play his love. No, he'll love you 10 times, 1,000 times more than you're playing games. He's there. He loves you for you. And so there's going to be some things that will knock you off. But no matter if you get an event that knocks you off, you can still tune in, right? Just to realize that, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that can get in between your tuner and him that's going to eliminate your ability to tune him in. Nothing can do that. No created thing, height, depth, power, principality, no demon spirit. No matter what somebody says about somebody who said about you, one thing that they can do, people can turn people against you, but nobody can turn God against you. Nobody can turn his love against you. Nothing can get in between. In fact, you've got free access, boldness to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Thank God for that. So I can always get tuned back in. There's nothing that can prevent that. Finally, you're tuning in by faith. This is such an important deal. I love this Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Message paraphrase says, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. There is going to be a diligence. There's two things about faith that it says here. We know that it's impossible to please him without faith, but it kind of breaks down some components of faith. And that is, you're simply believing that God is. You're just by faith. When you receive Christ, I didn't see him die 2,000 years ago. I believe the gospel. I believe he is. It says something else too. You're a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We talked last week about, godly stubbornness. There's a godly stubbornness. There's a godly, holding on to something. And that kind of dovetails with this. There is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Like that widow. She was before the judge, the unjust judge. He didn't fear God and he didn't fear man. Sounds a lot like the devil. Doesn't fear God, doesn't fear him, hates man. And she just stayed till she got justice. There was a diligence about her faith. When you're tuning in again, you're going to have forces that don't want you to tune into that channel, because there's an enemy that knows if you get tuned into that channel, you're going to begin to see who you are on the inside. And all those forces that have been beating you up and beating you up, you realize the power of God is so much greater than the power of the flesh. It's so much greater than the law of sin and death. It's powerful. And so there are those forces trying to keep you from tuning in. But man, you're tuning diligently by faith. Even if I'm tuning in and I missed it and felt it, I'm getting back up. And I'm tuning in, and I'm tuning in, and I'm tuning in. I'm tuning in until I get tuned in. But I'm doing it by faith. Not because I feel a goosebump. I'm doing it by faith because the Bible says that's it. Thank God for the Scripture, the Word of God. But I'm telling you what, it's not the emotional inspiration of the Scripture that makes you free. That'll last you for maybe the rest of the service. It's the truth that makes you free. And after the emotional inspiration of it has worn off, I believe it's true, so I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to keep tuning in, and tuning in, tuning in, tuning in, tuning in, until that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus begins to rise up on the inside of me. I'm diligently seeking, and I'm doing it by faith. Church service on a Sunday morning can get you so far. We can get the Word of God, we can get it, but I'll tell you, Lord told me this once. I think I was listening to a message one time, and the preacher was preaching something like this to me. And he said, Ed, you're talking about the truth making you free. He said, you can hear the word of God on the preacher's time, but you got to continue in the word of God in your time. And that's when freedom and truth and tuning and things begin to change. Like that Psalm 1 guy, meditating in it day and night. He just kept it in front of him. You know, Romans 8, here we're kind of revisiting this in a few different angles. Therefore, now there's no condemnation, praise God, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the flesh. You could put it this way, who aren't tuning into the flesh, but who are tuning into the Spirit. I'll tell you what, that's a cool thing too. You know, if you're just tuning into the Spirit, you're just trying to tune into the Spirit, no condemnation, man. You might fall, just get back up, keep tuning in. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's what makes me free from the law of sin and death. It's not Ed House's discipline. It's the law of the Spirit of life. I've got one discipline, set my mind on things above. I got one discipline, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. When that happens, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When I set my mind on the things of the Spirit, it's not an old religious holier-than-thou paradigm. When I'm setting my mind on the things of the Spirit because I'm tuning into God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, makes you free from the law of sin and death. You'll find yourself just not wanting stuff. It'll just destroy the appetite for the law of sin and death, and it'll just cultivate that appetite for the things of the Spirit. That's the thing that we're doing, but it's by faith. By faith, by faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me, ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. What am I saying here? We're going that direction, but we're doing this by faith, and there's a power that kicks in. Have you been there before? When you've looked across something that ate your lunch, and it's not eating your lunch anymore, and you know it's not you, you're not afraid of that thing anymore. And you know it's not you. You're totally free from the law of sin and death, and it's not you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. It's like, wow, I want more of that. I want more of him. I want to pursue him. That's what makes me free. It's the power of the Spirit of God. You know, the Apostle Paul went through a bunch of junk. And he said, oh, Father, just remove this thorn, this messenger of Satan, this all the persecutions and things that he went through. And God just said, look, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, if you're a weaponry, you know, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, they're mighty through God. But if you were to liken them unto something powerful, I mean, if your artillery was nuclear bombs, okay, whether it's one guy or 1,000 guys, it really doesn't matter. You got nuclear bombs. And what is he saying? My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, I'm not afraid. He's saying, Paul, don't be afraid of whatever the enemy throws at you. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, great, I'll glory in tribulations and trials and infirmities. I'll glory in that. When I'm weak, he's strong. You're learning to step out of the way and just let his power work and flow through you because it is him. I love this scripture, final scripture. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Isn't that true? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. So all I'm going to do, if you want to get free, bring the Spirit of the Lord onto the scene. You know, even worshiping this morning, just seeing the glory, the majesty of heaven, there's so many things that are just, you know, pushed back when the Spirit of the Lord is operative and active and present. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I love that, glory to glory. What is this? It's incremental. It's step by step by step. I'm looking unto him, I'm tuning into him, and he's changing me from glory to glory. But what am I tuned into? We had our pastor, I remember, back in Bethel Church, Pastor Paulser, he'd say, you become what you behold. I never forgot that. This is a teenager cutting my teeth on the word of God. He said, you will become what you behold. Whatever you put in front of you, it has a transforming effect. Whether it's spiritual things or whether it's natural things. You become what you behold. So true. What you set your mind on. You see, it's not just a matter of right or wrong thinking. Your thinking affects your believing. It affects what you believe. And when your believing is in motion, that's spiritual power. What you believe has power. And when the enemy can get you to believe a lie, there's power in that. He can get you to believe something so true that is so not true. You know, a lot of times you think of natural. I remember the old movie, A Beautiful Mind. Guy who's a famous kind of mathematician guy, but he had a deal where he was seeing people that really weren't there, all right? But to him, they were there, but they weren't there. And you kind of look at that and go, oh, yeah, that's sad, it's delusional, and that's, you know, something that people do and can deal with, absolutely, and no doubt about it. But, you know, on a more common level, we can all be deceived by that. It might not be people that you're seeing that aren't really there, but the enemy can have lies that are there that are so real, you believe them so passionately and strongly, but they're not true. Just as though it was like a person that you're seeing in a delusion. You can be just as delusional about believing something about yourself. And when you get into those places where you're tuned into the Spirit and God shows you, not just a preacher telling you, it's me telling you, you're a new creation in Christ. God, you're by yourself in your car and the Spirit of God says, you're new. And he shows you you're new by the revelation of the Spirit of God. He shows you who you are. You're hearing it from his Spirit. I'm telling you what, it breaks lies, strongholds off of you just by hearing it from the Spirit of God. Why? You're tuned in. When you're tuned in, you have no idea. It's like wild card. It's like grab bag wild. You know, you don't know what you're going to get out of it. But you're tuned in there. There's good stuff that he's going to do, and he's going to minister, and he's going to speak to your heart. So what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about tuning into God, getting tuned in on purpose, getting tuned in by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. I'm going to realize that, hey, I need God. I need his Spirit. I need his Word. It's not something that I'm doing in my own natural ability, but I'm looking to God and realizing that I don't have to listen to every thought in my head. I'm going to have to be intentional about surfing past, not trying to channel surf every thought in my mind. I have no moral obligation to have to channel surf every thought in my mind any more than I have a moral obligation to watch every channel between channel 2 and channel 372. I can direct tune. I can direct tune and bless the Lord at all times and just let his praise be in my mouth. I can just let my request be made known as I tune in. I can stay tuned in. It doesn't mean that I stick my head in the sand. I very, very, in a very confronting manner, take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and I let my request be made known unto God. And in the meantime, his peace that passes my understanding keeps my heart and mind in Christ Jesus until he plays my song. Until I know what to do. But in the meantime, staying tuned in. How am I doing it? I'm doing it by faith. It's not emotional inspiration. It's the truth of God's word. And I'm going to stick with it. Praise God. Diligently seeking him. Believing he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This isn't salvation by works, all right? This is a different aspect. This is diligently seeking and finding. Ask, seek, knock. God loves that kind of inquisitive diligence. He wants to satisfy. He wants to fill. He wants to open the door. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Just the fact that we can tune into you no matter where we're at, that you're there, praise God. No matter where we're at, maybe we're tuned into our flesh. Maybe we're just revving in the Spirit, praise God. Wherever that spectrum is, I just pray for each one here this morning. I pray, Lord, that they would just sense the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, they would sense that drawing to tune into you, strong into you, strong into your signal, to hear what you want to speak to them, to hear what you're broadcasting to them, that they can hear your word for them today, that they can hear your word for them for their future, that they can hear your word for them regarding your love for them. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I tune into you today. You're my Lord. You're my God. I tune past demonic wisdom. I tune past these fleshy thoughts. They strongly oppose the things of your Spirit. I get it. I know you get it. And I push past them. Just like that Psalm 1 guy. And I set my mind on things above, knowing that you'll play my song for those things I don't know. When I give my request to you, nothing has to knock me out of tune with you. I can stay in tune and I tune in by faith. And if I get out of tune, I get back in tune again, knowing you love me, knowing you're still speaking, still broadcasting rich truth into my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, like I said, a message like this, it doesn't matter how long you've lived for God. As long as you're alive in one of these mortal bodies, you're still regularly dealing with the flesh, the world, and the devil. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. So it's a continual, ongoing adjustments that you're making to stay tuned in. But just understand that. Don't stop and make big decisions about yourself and declaring yourself from a place of being in the flesh. Don't begin to make, you know, draw conclusions. Nah, I don't care what it is. All you got to do is get tuned back into the Spirit of God, that inseparable love, and He can restore you completely back to that rich, full, flowing, praise God, there's nothing like, I come to the garden alone. Oh, praise God. Dew is fresh, whatever it is. He walks with me, He talks with me, He lives. I'll tell you, that sweet place of fellowship, that garden place, there's nothing that can keep you out. He wants you to tune in so you can walk with Him again and enjoy Him. There's nothing, no one, no event, no demon, no power, principality that can separate you from that in Christ Jesus. Praise God.